So we're going to look at some things that we can do to improve our prayer life from this portion of Scripture. Paul mentions four things that we want to look at that can help us to improve our prayer life. Number one, make prayer more a part of your daily life. Number two, pray before things get to a crisis stage. Number three, avoid taking things for granted. And number four, include God's agenda in your prayers. So let's take a look at those four things. And now, obviously, the first thing here, make prayer more a part of your daily life, is something that's important. Because he talks about being devoted. Devote yourselves to prayer. Now, sometimes when you look at that word and you see devoted, you think of somebody who is really, really spiritual. They pray all the time. In fact, they get up at 3 in the morning and they pray for hours. They have no problem praying all through the night. I mean, they are devoted to prayer. Now, there are some people who find it very easy to pray, and they are devoted to prayer. They can pray for hours. They intercede. They're intercessors, and they're prayer warriors. And that's a gift, and that's something that God wants to use people in that way. But not everybody is a prayer warrior. Not everybody is going to be that kind of have that kind of time or be able to pray that way. So what do we mean when we're talking about being devoted to prayer? Well, we're talking about bringing it into your life more often on a regular basis. You know, there's some portions of Scripture that talks about praying without ceasing. Now, what does that mean? That you're constantly mumbling? No. I mean, you can't do that in your sleep. Some people talk in their sleep, but some people, they can't do that. So what does it mean? It means you try to include God in every area of your life. You include him into the details of life. And one of the ways you include him is you talk to him about it all through the day. So here's the thing. Prayer is more than just for a time of trouble. It's not just when you're in a crisis that you're supposed to pray. You know, it's something that I know it's easy to pray when you're in trouble. When there's a crisis, you call out, you go, God help. Please, Lord, deliver me, save me, help me, fix me. You know, fix them. Deliver them. And when there's a crisis, when somebody is very, very ill, when somebody's lost their job, or when there's some kind of issue that's really important to you and it's serious, you find that it's easier to pray. But just doing that, you're not going to be devoted to prayer. You're just going to pray when there's a problem, when there's an issue. So if your life is going pretty good right now, you won't be praying. And that is something that is not good. You need to be praying on a regular basis, including God in your prayer life. And so God wants you to pray to him all the time. Now, that means you can pray to God even for the little things. God wants you to pray for the little things. Talk to God about those little things. In Luke chapter 18, verse 16, Jesus says this. It says, Jesus called to the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." In other words, if you're going to be a part of the kingdom of God, part of the thing that you're supposed to remember is that you're a child. You're a child of God. And having that childlike faith, having that childlike attitude, is a part of being a Christian. And so when you come to God, you come to him as a child. A child has the weaknesses. They're not fully developed. They don't have it all together. They are in need. And they like to talk sometimes about their day. You ever had a little one talk to you about their day? You go, okay, well, yes, that little bug was so important. I just talk about everything and anything, and you know, but it's important to them. Now you may be thinking, well, God's not interested in this, and me praying about that. What, you know, he's got the universe to run. Why would I bother him with some little things like that? That's not the case. God is interested in every little detail of your life. I mean, if he keeps track of how many hairs you have on your head, I think he's concerned about a lot of stuff. He wants to be involved in your life. Now, it's something that, if you look at God this way, he wants to be in your life. He loves you. And have you ever had an experience where somebody just shuts you out of their life because they think you're not interested? It hurts. We hurt God when we don't include him in the details of our life. He wants to be involved. It's not like he wants to do everything for us. In other words, we're not puppets or anything, but he wants to be involved. He wants us to include him in his life, in our life, where we just tell him about our day even. As we go through the day, you know, a lot of times I find myself frustrated or filled with fear on some issue or concern or whatever, and I find myself more and more now praying and bringing God into that time right there and say, Lord, I'm frustrated. I don't know what I'm frustrated about. What am I frustrated about, Lord? And I just talk to him about it. Lord, help me with this. Rather than, you know, going through all my day frustrated and then blessing people with my frustration when I see them at the end of the day. I'm trying to learn how to pray all the time about these kind of things. Or if something's wonderful, include God in it and thank him for it. Start making it a habit to start praying. So you bring your questions to him, you bring your concerns to him, you tell him about your annoyances. You tell them about your fears. You tell them about all the things you'd want to see happen, your needs. You just are talking to him all the time. And you're listening to him. You're letting him have something to say to you. You start to have this dialogue with God. That is what we mean by being devoted to prayer. It's not just when there's a crisis. Can you imagine if your kids only talked to you when things were totally out of control? Got a call. That's John. Johnny's calling me. I wonder what it's about. That's the only time they call you. They need money. I bet you they have a problem and they want me to solve it for. What kind of relationship are we having with God here? We want to have a healthy relationship to where we are including him in every detail of our life. Now, prayer can be hard. Sometimes I find that it's hard because I don't know what to pray for. And in Romans chapter 8, it talks about in verse 26 where God sometimes knows that we have a difficulty praying about something and we ask the Holy Spirit to help us pray. And we count on him to give us insight, to give us inspiration, to give us the words to say. Sometimes it's even just a groaning where we're expressing our feelings. We don't even know what it is that's going on inside of us. Sometimes I find myself as a mystery. I'm a mystery to my own self sometimes. I don't know why I'm feeling what I'm feeling sometimes. And I just have to say, God, help me. What is happening to me right now? What am I dealing with? Why am I feeling this way? He wants to know, and he wants to help you. That's sometimes difficult. Sometimes we don't see the answer to our prayer right away. And that makes it difficult. I don't know about you. I love it when I pray and God answers. I wish it happened that way all the time. You know what I mean? Lord, I need a parking space right now. Oh, thank you very much. You know what I mean? It'd be nice to be able to just, Lord, solve their problem. Bingo. Do this. Bingo. Help me with that. Bingo. That would be wonderful if prayer worked that way. But it doesn't work that way. See, the thing is, we find ourselves struggling to pray on a consistent basis because we don't see an answer right away, and so we get discouraged, and we go, and we just stop. Until it gets so bad, then we just call out in desperation, maybe. God doesn't want us to have that kind of life. Paul's not talking about that. He wants you to have a different kinds of life. So to devote yourself to prayer means this: to be persistent. It pays to be persistent in your prayers. If you're going to have a life that's devoted to prayer, you have to have persistence. You have to stick with it. Now, the fact is that we give in too soon. I give in too soon. I stop praying too soon. It's kind of like you got your dollar, and you go to one of those snack machines. You ever had this happen? You put the dollar in, it goes, nothing's happening. No snack. It's supposed to, once I put the dollar in, the snack comes. And we kind of think that's the way it is with God. We put our prayer in, and then comes the answer. But it doesn't work that way. What God wants to do sometimes is just to be persistent, to hold on to that request, hold on to that prayer, and continue to ask, continue to seek, continue to knock on God's door and say, help. In the Jesus teachings, write this down. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10, and also Luke chapter 18, 1 through 8. Now you find that Jesus is teaching this about persistence, continuing to pray. Why? Because it's something that's hard. It's a problem. It's something that we don't do. And he's saying, you need to do this. And he tells two stories. First story, he tells a parable of a person who had a friend. And he goes to him at midnight and asks him for bread. And he continues to bug him until finally the man, to have a relief, gives him the bread. And he says here, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. And keep on asking, is in the original version. In the Greek, it has the intention of continuing to do this. Seek, and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock, and keep on knocking, or asking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Those who seek, find. And those who knock, the door will be opened to them. In other words, those who continue to do that, it will happen. Now, the other parable is of the wicked, evil judge, and the woman came to him as a widow and asked for justice and kept on bugging him every other day. And finally he said, to have peace of mind, I'm going to just give her justice so I don't have to deal with her anymore. Now, one of the things I think that these two parables are pointing out is that those people received their request. Why? Because they were persistent. They really wanted the answer. They really wanted the help or the solution or the whatever they were asking for. They really wanted that. And because they really wanted it, they pursued it and kept on pursuing it and were persistent in it. And there's something about prayer where God is trying to sift out all those irrelevant requests sometimes that we give that we don't even remember we gave 2 minutes after we pray. Do you know what I'm talking about? Lord, just do this for me, amen, and then something happens. And you didn't even remember you prayed for that. You ever had God answer a prayer? You prayed and somebody else remember you praying, and then God answered the prayer, and you didn't even remember that you were praying. You prayed about that. That's how important it was to you. So sometimes God just holds back and doesn't answer yet to sift through all those kind of prayers. so that you can see what is really important to your life, and then you find yourself focused on that, seeking that, and then God says, okay, this, now he's focused, he knows that this is important, and I'm going to work in his life, because he's going to see, it's going to build his faith by me answering it, but I'm going to wait until he really gets persistent and really is serious about this, because I really know that they want this. What's another example? You know, sometimes kids, they'll say, "I could you get me this? I really want one of these." I don't know. I probably want to give you that, huh? Yeah, it's really neat. I'd like to have one. Okay, here you go. 2 minutes later, they forgot they even got it. You know what I'm saying? So you say, "No, I don't think you really want it that bad. We're not going to get one of those things." But they really, really want it. And so they keep on bugging you about it. And it doesn't go away. Now you know that's something they really want. That's something they really need, because they bring it up more than once. That's the kind of thing we're talking about here. God wants to sift your life so that you know what's important, what is essential, and you're praying about those things. You're not spending your time just throwing up little things going, "Oh, give me this, give me that, help me with this," and you don't even care if he answers it or not. Next thing, pray before things get to a crisis stage. Pray before things get to a crisis stage. He talks about this when he says, be alert or be watchful. Be watchful. Now, how many of us are guilty of this? We wait to pray until it comes to a crisis stage, okay? God wants you to start praying before it becomes a crisis. So you need to be alert to what is going on. That's part of being watchful, is you need to be alert to what is happening. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this happen. I saw this and it was frightening. I was on the freeway, and next to me was a woman putting on makeup and driving. That was scary. All he had to have happen was just somebody push on the brakes and we got an accident, because they're not alert. They're not. It's like driving so easy to them, they can do their makeup. That's not the way you want to drive. I mean, texting and driving, not a good idea. I'm not looking to see who's got a guilty look on your face. But being alert is something that's important if you're going to be driving, correct? So if you're not alert, you get in trouble. Things happen that could have been avoided, could have been dealt with ahead of time before it became a problem. So you can sometimes, if you're a good driver, you can see situations out there that as you're coming, that if I slow down here and get into this lane or do this, it's going to be a problem if I don't. And you avoid those things. This is what God wants you to do. He wants you to pray about things before they become a crisis. So you don't want to wait too long before you pray. You want to do it soon. You're watching to see things before they get fully developed. Does this make any sense? You know, Billy is not here this morning. He goes National Guard once a month, and this is the week for him to go. And one of his duties there in the base is to oversee security. So let's just imagine that you have some guys that are in security, and one of the guys, he's there, and he's at the fence there, just marching back and forth and just looking around, and he sees some rustling in the bushes. And then he sees a gun barrel and some flashlight, and he goes, "Well, I'll just wait until the shooting starts." You think that's watchful? No. You don't go, "I'll wait until the shooting starts." No, you check it out first before the shooting starts. You check out and see if these things are, this is a possible problem here. I need to do something about this before it develops into a problem. So you want to pray about issues before they become a serious problem, before a crisis takes place. So one of the things that we're looking at here is, what are some of the things that you pray about? Well, you look for problems. You look for trouble that can develop. And you pray about those things before they become fully developed, whether it be in your own life or in the lives of people you love and care about. You know, as parents, that's something you can do. Before their life becomes a horrible mess, pray about those things. You know that if they continue that way, it's going to be a horrible mess. Pray about those issues in their life ahead of time and say, God, show me how we can do something about this. We need your help. There's an attitude that's starting to develop here. There's a way of dealing with things that's developing here. Lord, help us in this area before it becomes a problem. Does that make sense? Okay. Another thing in prayer is to avoid taking things for granted. And this is dealing with thankfulness. Thankfulness. It's important, a part of our being devoted in prayer, to be thankful. So you want to avoid taking things for granted. Now that is something that happens very easy for us as human beings. You know, at the beginning, something wonderful happens and we're thankful, right? And then we go, this is normal. This is the way it's supposed to happen. You know, it's normal, that these kind of blessings. And then we go, where's my blessing? It's supposed to be happening. It always happens this way. This is the way it's supposed to be. You're taking it for granted. And now it's a right. It starts out with something to be grateful about, and then you take it for granted, and then you go, it's got to be, this is my divine right, it happened this way. Right? So there's a kind of a process that we go through. And what it does, it kind of colors your life. What you want to do is you want to have something that you have an attitude of gratefulness for everything. You don't take anything for granted. You realize that God doesn't owe you anything. Everything that he gives you is out of his graciousness. He is full of grace and kindness. And it's because of his graciousness and kindness these things are happening. You don't realize what health means to you until you have health problems. You don't really realize how wonderful it is to have a job until you don't have a job. There's so many things to be thankful for. And we find ourselves thinking that this is supposed to be the way it is. That all these things are taken care of and all these things are going. So, thankfulness will also help you be persistent. How does this work? A lot of times when we're praying, at least for myself, I'm praying and I'm struggling. It's when I'm praying about an issue, it's usually something that, a lot of times it's about a problem that I'm dealing with, either in my own life or someone else's life or in the church or whatever. And I find myself praying about these things and trying to be persistent about these things. But a lot of times, God's timetable and mine are not the same. Amen? And that's when it gets hard. That's when I'm tempted to not persist. Because the more I'm praying about it, it's like it was a bright sunny day at the beginning, and after prayer, it becomes gloomy. It's foggy and it's tough. That's where thankfulness comes in. Thankfulness comes in and says, wait a second, God has worked in this situation in the past, be thankful. Thank God for this. Thank God for that. And it starts to brighten things up and starts to give you, rather than this myopic problem, you bring into all the other things that God has been doing, is doing, and to be thankful for those things, and it helps you to not be so discouraged by the things that are not going like you'd want them to go. So thankfulness kind of helps balance you out and helps you continue on when it's a hard slug to go through some of those things. Later on in this letter, we see that Epaphras was praying for the people there. And it says that he wrestled for them, struggled. It was work. And sometimes it is work. And when you can be thankful and have thankfulness and praise in your prayer life, it makes the struggle and the wrestling a lot easier. Number two, thankfulness, it builds your faith. It builds your faith. Because you see, when you are thankful to God for what He's done and is doing in your life, you start to see that God has done this in the past, and now I'm looking at this situation over here, and I see He did in the past, He can do it in the future. He worked this way before, He'll do this again. It builds your faith. And it's funny, the more I am thankful and practice thankfulness. Now, let me just say this. You don't always feel thankful when you have to give thanks. Do you know what I mean? I don't feel thankful, so therefore I can't thank God. No. You thank God, and then you're going to start feeling thankful. If you waited until you felt thankful, it might be a real long time before you thank God for anything. So you start thanking God now for those things that are in your life that you've started to take for granted. Lord, I want to thank you that I have a car that runs right now. I thank you, God, for my health. I thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for answering this prayer. I thank you, Lord, that you are a God who answers prayer, that you're a God who's interested in me, who cares about me. God, I thank you that you went to all this trouble to have a relationship with me. I thank you. And you just, pretty soon, you got a little hop in your step, and you're feeling a little bit better, and you can start praying. All right? Because you started thanking God ahead of time, and it built your faith, so you start to see that God can do things. Whereas before, you were just filled with discouragement, and nothing's going to right, nothing's going to happen, everything is bad. You ever had that? And you're in this funk. And so what do you do? What do you do when you're in a funk like that? You watch TV. Right? No. You pray. You give thanks. You ask God to continue to change your attitude and start to brighten your day a little bit. That's what you do. Now, He comes to the end of this little portion of Scripture, and let's read this together. Start with verse 3. And Paul says, "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. For that I pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." Now, here's an interesting thing. Notice what he says here. He says, "I'm in chains." Why is he in chains? Because of the gospel. He was preaching the gospel, and it got him into trouble. People didn't like him. They didn't like what he was doing. They didn't like the effect that the gospel had on people. It changed things. It made things, those who had interest in certain things happening, they found that the gospel was replacing different religions and different people's loyalties, and all these things were happening, and they didn't like it. And they sought to shut him up. So he's been in jail. He's been under arrest for quite a few years now. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, that happens to me, I'm praying, God, get me out of here. Right? I'm writing this letter to these other churches, and I say, could you get a prayer chain going and have God get me out of jail. I'd really like to come and see you, but I have these chains and these soldiers are hanging on me and I can't get out. So could you pray for me that God would deliver me from this situation? I don't think there's anything necessarily evil about that or wrong. But part of devoting yourself to prayer, one of the things that's going to happen, and hopefully will happen as you pray, is that you'll start to see God's agenda. You remember now that prayer is not just about you getting what you want done in your life or in the life of other people. That's not what prayer is all about. Someone has said this: we use prayer as a boatman uses a boat hook to pull the boat to the shore and not to pull the shore to the boat. Think about it. I know there's a little bit of blankness there. Let me do it one more time. We use prayer as a boatman uses a boat hook. So they take the hook, hook the shore, and then they pull themselves into the shore. Not to take the hook and pull the shore away from where it is to where they are. That's not what the hook is for. We pray not to get to God to move, to do our will. We pray to move ourselves to be more close to what His will is. How'd that happen? We didn't see anything, did you? That was smooth. Okay. So, prayer is looking for what God wants done in your life. Prayer is about looking for what God wants done in your life. That's part of being devoted to prayer. You're looking at things and you start to see things from God's perspective. You're praying, Your will be done, Father. Thy will be done. So Paul didn't pray necessarily, I want my life to be more comfortable. I want a better menu. I want more food. I want to have new shoes. He wasn't looking to make his life comfortable necessarily. Not that God's not going to provide and give you wonderful things. But that wasn't his focus. His focus is, what does God want done? Not only in the world, but in my life. Because, see, he realized that he was in prison because of the gospel, and God had told him a long time ago that I'm going to use you. And part of the way that God uses us is allow us to go through difficult situations. He brings things that we suffer a little bit because of it. So Paul had some suffering he was going through, but it opened a door of opportunity to speak to people that he would have never been able to speak to. Governors, even Caesar himself, he was able to share with this gospel. And so that's what he was concerned about. He knew now that he was placed in this situation for a reason. And he asked God to use him in a way that would be effective. Help me. I'm going to be speaking to the most powerful man in the world, Caesar. And God, I ask that you would help me to have the right words to say, that it would be convincing and clear, so that I might be able to take advantage of this opportunity I have and declare who you are and what you have done and what they need to do based on what we know is true. Could you guys pray for me that when this opportunity opens up, because it will, that God would give me the ability to not be afraid, not to get tongue-tied, not to be paralyzed, but to be able to speak clearly and boldly the truth so that your will can be done in this situation. So that's what we want to do. We find ourselves in places and situations, and they haven't changed for a while. You know what they are. You've prayed, God, help this, do this. And he hasn't done it for a while. So you start to say, well, God, are you trying to tell me something else? Do you have me here in this place, in this position, in this situation? Let's say, for instance, your job. You have some people that are relationally challenged. They're not the kindest people in the world. They're not the most considerate people in the world. And you prayed that the Lord would move you out and get you a new job. That hasn't happened. So you went to plan B. Move them out, Lord, and get them a new job. And that hasn't happened. So maybe you should be saying, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation that you have me? What is your will? What do you want to do? You know, I prayed, Lord, that you give me patience, but I didn't think of this would be the way to get it. Lord, I ask you to help me to be kind. And maybe you're answering my prayer now. I have to be kind to those who are rude. I have to be kind to those who are take advantage of me. Ah, okay. Now I'm praying, your will be done, God, in this situation. Help me to do your will here. Help me to see what your will is. Help me to be alert to what you're doing in this situation. Help me to see things from your perspective. What is your agenda for me here in this place that I find myself? That's part of being devoted to prayer. And finally, through prayer is how God's will is accomplished. Through prayer is how God's will is accomplished. And I'll close with this. This is a story in the book of Exodus, chapter 17. And it tells a story about the people of Israel coming into the promised land. And they came against a group of people who were hostile to God's people. And actually remained so for hundreds of years. They were a real thorn in the side of Israel. They were always a problem. And God told them to go to war against this group and fight against them. And one of the things that we find in this story is that Joshua was the general of the troops of Israel. And they came against this nation called the Amalekites, who were a godless people who hated things of God and tried to destroy the nation of Israel. So they came and fought a battle. And while they're fighting the battle, Moses says, you fight, you lead the people into battle, and I'll go up on this hill overlooking the valley where the battle will be going on, and I will pray. I'll pray for our people. I'll pray for that God would work through this army of ours and get us the victory. So as he prayed, now this is the way they prayed in those days. You know, we pray like this. He prayed like this, with his head up, and standing, and he's praying, you know, God, work in this, you know. And as he prayed, Israel was winning. Now, how long can you put your hands up like this? After a while, they just started to sink, right? And as they started to sink, the nation of Israel started to turn against them. And so a couple of men came and went on one side and one on the other, and they lifted up his arms and kept his arms up, and they put it underneath rocks on the either side, and they kept his hands up. And as long as his hands were up and he was praying, they had victory. Now that says a few things. There's a lot of things that this teaches us, but there's a couple things I just wanted to focus on. Prayer is essential for victory. It's essential for seeing things done. Now, that doesn't mean you just sit in the pew and you pray and things just happen magically. There's work to be done. There's things to be accomplished. There's tasks to be organized. There's things to take care of to see God's kingdom and God's work succeed. But if you don't have prayer behind it, It doesn't work. It doesn't succeed. As he prayed, they're fighting. Did they somehow get magically ability to? No. It's just that God was behind them and with them as Moses prayed. It's the combination of the two. And it's sometimes hard to know when one begins and when the other begins. It's kind of a mystery how this works. But God somehow enables us in the things that we do, the everyday normal things we do for God, it makes them succeed. He starts to work in ways that we can't see that bring success. And we don't do anything different than we did before. It's just that the prayer power behind it is what's making the difference. God is using his prayer to bring success, bring about his purpose being accomplished because of prayer. So I say all that to say, I covet your prayers. When I teach, when I preach, pray for me that the Lord would use his word, that he would anoint, that he would make the preaching and teaching the word powerful and effective. I don't care how much I study. If there's not prayer behind it, there's not a spiritual thing that's taking place necessarily. It's just me teaching. And we want that. We don't want that. We want something that's more than that. We want God's involvement. So prayer. Pray for those who are reaching out to others. Pray for those who are going to Mexico. Yes, they'll be doing all these activities. We're going to be planning things and doing things like that. But we need your prayers behind it so that it is successful. Pray for the teachers in the Sunday school as they're teaching the high school students, as they're teaching the little kids, that God would use that those who are involved in the Sunday school ministry, that they would be effective. Because I tell you, it's a spiritual battle sometimes. What do you mean, Roger? You have things all prepared. You come to the class and put it down, and then somehow it gets all ruined, and you can't do it. Or you're waiting, you're expecting something to happen, and you're looking for some help, and they said they'd be there, and they're not there. Or things happen. You had the chairs all lined up, and you come and arrive, and they don't have any chairs anymore. What happened to the chairs? And you get so flustered by that you all kinds of things can take place. You get ready, and your car has a flat tire. Before you come to you're going to be teaching Sunday school. You got to put on a spare, and you just get there on the nick of time, and you're all. If people are praying for you, you navigate those things pretty well. If there's no prayer support, you're left on your own. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need your prayers so that God can work and do his will in our church. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you. We ask, Lord, that you would help us as we look to improve our prayer life. Help us to put those things into practice, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would make our prayers more part of our daily life, that we include you more and more in our life as we talk to you. Lord, we pray that we wouldn't just pray when there's a crisis or trouble, but we'd be proactive and pray before things develop into a crisis. Lord, we help us to be grateful and thankful and avoid being complacent and taking things for granted. And Lord, help us to see your agenda of what you're trying to accomplish in our lives, and help us to pray that your will be done in the situation that we find ourselves. We thank you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. and sing together One Thing Remains. In closing, One Thing Remains. Bless you and have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next Sunday.